If you've been with us for this past few weeks, we've been on a journey. We invited you at the very beginning of the journey to journey with the wise man, following the star, the journey to Christmas. We've journeyed through hope and love and joy. And today we're going to be talking about the theme of peace, as we heard earlier with the lighting of our Advent candle. We thank Lorinda, who's a part of our staff, for lighting today. As we talk about the theme of peace, I want to share with you the story of two young men who were traveling. They were hiking in the mountains. Anybody ever been hiking in the mountains? All right. It's a beautiful thing. But sometimes during certain seasons, the weather can be a little bit unpredictable. And as they left base camp in that morning and they were heading up the mountain, they were heading to a warming hut. And they knew that it was going to be a long journey, but given great weather, they could just make it just fine. But as you might imagine, about halfway through, there suddenly a snowstorm came up, and it began blinding them, and they were freezing, and they were cold, and every step got more difficult than the last. But they had already gotten closer to their goal than they could just turn around and go back down the mountain, and so they kept forging ahead. But with the snow covered up the trail, they even got lost, and they weren't even sure that they were on the right path anymore. And suddenly, a hike for fun became a fight for survival. And as they're encouraging each other and hoping that they're going in the right direction, it's just one step ahead of the other, a step ahead of the other, they thought maybe it just couldn't go on anymore. When suddenly, off in the distance, one of them saw a bright light that seemed to be shimmering in the darkness, renewed with strength by the hope that they had, that they were moving in the right direction. They made their way one step at a time with joy, finding the hut. And they were saved. And as we think about this story and what it must have been like, and for them wandering around, stumbling and cold and miserable and even wondering if they're going in the right direction, it's exactly this time during the season of Christmas that we realize that there's so many people who are struggling, walking in the darkness, not even sure if they're going in the right direction. Mike, I'm going to ask for some water again. My apologies. But so many people are struggling, wondering, am I going in the right direction? And today, in the celebration of Christmas, we can say without a shadow of doubt, absolutely. Just like the wise men were drawn years ago to the light in the distance, they saw the light over Bethlehem. And they set off and they took a long, arduous journey, but they kept their eyes focused on the light. The light brought hope and strength and finally peace. I want to share with us our passage today. It comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. And Luke writes, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Thank you, Vanna. It's just water. And so as we read this passage, we remember what it must have been like. I invite you to put yourself back in that place and back up on that hillside with the shepherds as they were gathering around and they were herding their sheep and watching out for predators. And then suddenly a bright light appeared, an angel of the Lord. And as you can imagine, they fell down and they were so afraid. They'd never seen anything like it before. I want you to think about and imagine what it would be like if an angel showed up in your bedroom. It's like, what is this thing? And you'd be so afraid. Something supernatural is happening. Something is taking place. And the angel says, "But do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For those of you who are worried about your eternal lives, this is good news. It's the message that says, do not be afraid. For today I bring you good news of great joy, for today in the town of Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior has been born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And that's our theme for today. We're going to be talking about peace and that peace that passes all understanding. If you'd like to follow along in your outline, we invite you to do that and take a look at number one there is we have the whole point of Christmas is to have peace through Christ. We can only have peace with God through Christ. And so that is the message of Christmas, is that while we were yet sinners, God sent his one and only Son to be born, to live, to do incredible, miraculous things, and yes, even to die on that cross. And that's why we can celebrate Christmas is because of Easter. And we can celebrate that we can have peace with God. You know, in the world today, it seems like most people are counting on works righteousness. If you ask the average person, what is the way to heaven? And they said, well, just try to be good. Try to be nice. Do something for your neighbor. Do something for the poor. Let somebody in front of you at the grocery store. And what we're hoping is that we can have enough good things to overshadow the bad things, that maybe when it all works out in the wash at the end, that we'll come out on top and God will somehow let us into heaven. But the fact is, we have to remember, as the scripture tells us, that we have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. And all it takes is just one sin to separate us from God forever and ever. Do you realize that when we are in our sin, we are at enmity with God? We are an enemy of God. We are separated from God. And there is no hope of everlasting life or going to or being a part of heaven without God's grace and without his gift of his Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin to ask the important questions of life, when you're young, you're not thinking about anything. You're just talking about toys, and you're talking about having fun and having enough food on the table and simple pleasures in life. But the older you get, you realize we are mortal. And this life is not all there is. And so you begin to ask the questions of, who am I? Where did I come from? How am I supposed to live? Does my life have any meaning? Does my life have any purpose? Do you realize how sad it is for the people who think we come from nothing and we're going to nothing? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. And the fact is, the answer is no. For God has given us eternal life. The only question is where you will spend eternity. With God, without God. With God, without God. With God, without God. Those of you who have seen the movie know that's funny. We need to have peace. I love what John Wesley said. He was actually talking about the scripture. If you don't know, John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist Church. He was an avid reader. He had an incredible library. And many people have incredible libraries, but John actually read all of his. He was an avid reader. But he was saying, if he could only have one book, he said, I only want to know one thing, and that is the way to heaven. If it can be found in a book, oh, give me that book at any price. Let me be a man, homo unius libri. Let me be a man of one book, the book of God. And like Wesley, that's our one goal in life, is we want to know, how can we be at heaven? How can we be with God? How can we be washed clean? How can we be forgiven of our sins? How can we live the abundant life even now and forevermore? And the only way we can do that is if we can have peace with God. The only way we can have peace with God is to have peace through Christ. And so, at Christmas time, he sent his one and only Son, that we could be washed clean, that we could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God so that we could be with him now and forevermore. Amen? Number two is that peace is Christ. Peace is the person of Christ, and I love it when John says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus taking on the persona of the way to Christ, or the way to heaven, and to be with God forever. And what he was actually doing, he was talking to his disciples, and his disciples, he was telling them, I'm getting ready to go away. You can imagine for them, this was bad news. He's their leader. They've left everything. They're his followers. Why are you going away? He said, that's okay. You know the way, the place that I'm going. And they went, No, we don't. Teacher, we don't know the way. And he says, yes, you do. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way that we can get to heaven, the only way we can have peace with God is to come through Jesus Christ, and it is the person of Jesus Christ. 800 years before his birth, the prophecy came from Isaiah saying that he would be many things, and he would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the peace. And number three is we begin to ask the question, okay, so we get it. We've fallen, we're separated, we're apart from God. He sent his son into the world. Many of you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that one. But many people don't know 17 that says, but he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And so the question becomes, once we get it and we realize that we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we realize that the only way to get to God and eventually to be with him in heaven forever and ever and ever is to go through Jesus Christ and the person of Christ, that we can have peace with God, that we can have peace in Christ and through Christ. And now, number three is we can have the peace of Christ. And so for some of you, this theological mumbo jumbo, it's like, man, it seems like we're talking about the same thing. No, stick with me here. There's this big picture where God has saved all of the world. And there's the big picture of understanding that we all need a Savior. But now we're bringing it in even a little bit closer to say, what does that mean to me personally? What does it mean about me? What does it mean about now? What does it mean about my life? And the fact is, through Jesus Christ, we can have the peace of Christ. And the Hebrew term for this is shalom. Southern Hebrew is shalom, y'all. But shalom means, and that's how they would greet each other, shalom, shalom. And means peace. But it's a different kind of peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And it's a peace that said the rest of your world can be in chaos, and yet in your heart, in your spiritual life, you can still have the peace that passes all understanding. In fact, if everything is going right, then you don't have to worry about anything. You're already at peace. But the fact is that we realize is we are fallen people. We have fallen parents. We have fallen spouses. We have fallen children. We live in a world that is a fallen world. It's an imperfect world. We're imperfect people living in an imperfect world. And so we should quit expecting everything to go right. And even when things go wrong, according to our will, we can still be at peace. And that's why it's called the peace that passes all understanding. Let me share with you a study that comes from Duke University. Duke University, if you don't know it, is one of our United Methodist colleges as well as one of our seminaries. And some years ago, they did a study about the people who seem to have peace of mind. And so they came up with some factors, some characteristics of those who have emotional and mental stability. If somebody next to you has emotional instability, you may want to wake them up for this part, okay? And many people have enjoyed taking the notes on this one, because what we're going to talk through is the study about how we can learn to have peace in our lives despite everything else that's going on around us. Number one is that people who have peace of mind and peace in their life, they have the absence of suspicion and resentment. Some of you said, what do you mean by that? Yeah, that's funny. Thank you. Three people got that, you know. We just naturally, we're conspiracy theorists. There's always something that's dastardly that's behind everything that's going on. And many of you are, even if everything's going right, you're still not at peace because you're still waiting for this shoe to drop. There's always something, ulterior motive that's coming behind somebody, sometime, somewhere, some circumstance. But people have the peace of mind. And you know them. They're very rare. If you're one of those people, God bless you, and we're glad you're here. We need more of you. But the fact is, most of us aren't like that. The most of us, we're struggling with life, and we're struggling with control, and we're struggling with perfectionism. We're struggling with all these things. but the absence of suspicion and resentment. I had a guy in one of my churches some years back, and he said, whenever you come to something you don't understand, just assume goodwill. You know, that's exactly the opposite of what most of us do. When we come up against something we don't understand, or somebody didn't do something our way, we get mad with them. We get frustrated with them. We assume bad will. We assume that they have something dastardly that's going on behind it, or they're absolutely wrong. I love what people say about God. He said, if I were God, I'd do things differently. But the smart people say, but then again, if I were God, I'd probably leave things just the way they are. I would have more information. We don't have enough information. But it's just simply this attitude, the absence of suspicion and resentment. And nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. How many of you have been hurt before? If you're sitting by them, don't raise your hand. But we've all been hurt before. We're all raw. And we all assume the worst because they hurt us and we want to hurt them back. If you truly want to have the peace of Christ, then we have to learn to have the absence of suspicion and resentment and to assume goodwill. Number two is letting go of the past. Everybody say, let it go. Let it go. And I'm going to talk to you on two different levels about letting it go. And part of it is letting go of those who have hurt you. Every single one of us has been hurt. And what is so weird about this is it's usually the people that we love the most who hurt us the deepest. They're the ones who hurt us the most. Why? Because the people who try to hurt you and you don't know them, you don't care about them, and you don't care what they have to say about you. But it's those that you're in relationship with, those who you're counting on, that it seems to be the most painful. And yet, as we come to this Christmas season and this time of remembrance, you can even check this out for yourself in Matthew chapter 6 when it talks about the Lord's Prayer. We're supposed to be the people of forgiveness. And forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And there's an accountability clause that's in the bottom of that passage most people don't catch. And it says, for if you do not forgive others, then neither will your sins be forgiven. You hold on. Wait a minute. I'm going to need more grace than that. But the fact is, it's the challenge to live within the peace of Christ is to be able to say, I know I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. We live in an imperfect world. I'm going to assume goodwill, and I'm going to be able to let you go. The other part of that is letting yourself off the hook. Those of you, there's some of you who are still fascinated that there's anything wrong with you. Apparently, you're not married. Because they will help you out with that. They will show you everything that's wrong with you. But maybe you have peace in your life, so you go, let it go. Whatever. But some of you, you hold on to your sin. You hold on to your mistakes. And you say, I wish I could take it back. I wish I could go back in time. You can't. You don't go back in time. And God says, I'm not holding you to your past. You've been forgiven. You've been washed clean. So go and forgive yourself. And so for some of those of you who are still holding on to hurt, anger, resentment, but even you're not letting yourself off the hook, it's Christmas time. And we receive the peace of Christ that even allows us to be human and so that we can learn to let it go. Number three is don't waste time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Have you ever been up against a brick wall? Have you ever been up against something that you thought is not right? We love to tell the story of our little daughter, Katie, and when nothing was ever right, and particularly when it came to putting on her shoes and socks. She loved to go barefooted, and so when we had to go somewhere and it was time to put on her socks, we'd get those little, remember those little frilly socks, the cute little socks we put on little girls, and we'd put her little socks on, and we straighten them out, put them on. But by the time you get the shoe on there, it's not right. It's not right.
And we'd have to start all over again, pull the sock off, pull the shoe off, pull the sock off, and start all over again. And at some point, we just had to say, let it go. Move on. We're getting in the car. We've got to go. But you can imagine that frustration of that little girl that's saying, it's not right. It's not right. And there are some of us that are looking at the world. We're looking at our lives. We're looking at our families. We're looking at our churches. We're looking at our pastors. And we're saying, it's not right. It's not right. And people who are at peace of mind say, let it go. Don't worry about it. You can't change it anyway. Many of you are familiar with the Serenity Prayer. God, help me to accept the things I cannot change and the wisdom to know the difference. Change the things I can, accept the things I cannot change. You're not God. Turn to somebody and say, you're not God. You're not God. Stop trying to run the world. Stop trying to make everything right all by yourself, because you're only frustrating yourself and everybody else around you. And so we don't waste time fighting conditions you cannot change. Number four is to force yourself to stay involved with the world. Many of you know what it's like to struggle with depression. When depression overwhelms you, you just want to stay home. You want to just be safe. You have no energy. You're stuck in bed. It's this gravitational pull that says, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to see anybody. I don't have any energy. I can't fight anybody. And everything is wrong. And I'm just going to stay here until it's right again. But the fact is, if you stay there, it only gets worse. You go deeper and deeper into that dark hole. And so the people who have peace of mind force themselves to stay involved with the world. Somebody's not here today because they're home in bed and the darkness is surrounding them. And maybe today's the day where you give them a call and say, I was thinking about you at church today. And I want you to know how much I care for you. I love you. Let's get out. Let's go to lunch. Let's do something. Let's celebrate this Christmas season. But if it's for us, we have to just keep putting our feet one foot in front of the other, like those hikers that were trying to make it up the mountain in the snow, and it was blinding, the trail was gone, but they just kept putting one foot in front of the other. You don't have to solve the world's problems all in a day. But just say, today I choose. It's a volitional will to say, I choose to get up, get myself together, and put myself out there. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. Number five is to refuse to indulge in self-pity. Wah, wah, wah. Because we're all gifted at that. You know, it's one thing if something happens to somebody else. You know, stinks to be you. Huh, but if it happens to us, it's like, it's not right. It's not right. But refuse to indulge yourself in self-pity, because you realize everybody gets handed a raw deal every once in a while. Everything goes wrong. Everybody, even the happiest person in the world, something goes wrong with them. And so the question is, how do you handle it? How do you deal with it? And you refuse to indulge in self-pity. Say, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Number six, cultivate the old-fashioned values of love. And when we're talking about this kind of love, there are many different kind of Greek words for love, and many of you have different ideas when you just say the word love. But the love I want to talk about today is a Christian kind of love. It's called the agape kind of love. It is an unconditional kind of love where we have a tendency to be nice to those who are nice to us, to like those who like us, to be good to those who are good to us. And to those who aren't good to us, we cut them off. We get rid of them. We dispose of them. And yet, what it's saying here is that we really need to take on the life of Christ. We get to lay down our lives and take up the mantle of Christ. And what this love is it's just unconditional love. It's kind of a broader picture, a broader perspective. Sometimes we're so myopic that we have all the chaos that's going on in front of us and in our minds. And sometimes we just need to take a step back and just say, from God's perspective, you know what? Let me assume goodwill. Let me not hold you accountable. Let me just share with you, I love you and I will always care about you. That's that unconditional love of Christ. And those who have peace of mind have this kind of love. Humor. Learn to laugh at yourself. I have to admit it, when I was young, I was very introverted. I was a very anxious person, and I got along pretty well in life because I was pretty athletic and had some popularity in the school and with the church and all that kind of stuff. But I was always fighting for my self-respect because I didn't have much myself, and so I was looking for it from other people. So when anybody ever made fun of me, it made me fighting mad, and I couldn't just let it go. How dare you do that? How dare you say that? How dare you laugh at me? But somewhere, and I told this to my daughter a couple of years ago as she was trying to figure out her way in life. I said, honey, you know what? My life got a lot easier when I began to accept my own mediocrity. I'm not Superman. I'm not God. I don't know everything, and I don't do everything right all the time. And when you don't do it right, just, my grandmother used to always say, oh me, like I've done it again, and just be able to have a sense of humor, to be able to laugh at yourself. And then compassion, to have compassion. Some of us can't have compassion on anybody else because we can't accept it for ourselves. We can't give grace to ourselves, so we can't give it to anybody else. But compassion means willing to suffer with. It means you're coming alongside. And I will tell you, as a pastor, sometimes I struggle with the Messiah complex because I'm a fixer. And so I want to get involved in people's lives, and I want to be able to help them, and I want to fix them, and when I can't fix them, because sometimes there's some people are just way over my head. They're out of my league, and I don't know what to do with that. And yet, realizing we're not God, and just saying, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to get through this, but I want you to know I care about you and I love you, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to have my compassion. I'm going to be there with you. And as God walks with us, then we'll walk together. And then loyalty. Being loyal. Sometimes, again, our love is conditional. We only help those who can help us back. We only love those who can love us back. But there's just something about family. Don't we say it during Christmas time? We love to see him come. Love to see him go. Because after a while, you're stepping on my nerves. You're in my space. It gets uncomfortable. And sometimes we have people who make us mad, and if they're not family, then we just cut them off. Talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. But they're family. And when it's family, they keep showing up. And so we have a loyalty to them. Says, I know. I'm imperfect. They're imperfect. But they're family. I care about them. And I love them. Number 7 is do not expect too much of yourself. When you expect too much of yourself, when the gap gets too wide, then you don't ever feel like you can live up to your own wishes, wants, or desires. And so what we should grow, we should put ourselves out there, not some lofty goals that we'll never be able to achieve, but put some goals out there that we can achieve, but not to strive too far. Otherwise, we'll be constantly disappointed that we aren't doing better. Number 8 is find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Many times we're self-centered and egotistical, and the people score the lowest in any test for measuring in happiness of those who don't have anything else to believe in. And isn't that why we're here today? Isn't that why we're celebrating Christmas? It's because we believe in something that's bigger than ourselves. And when we begin to realize that life is bigger than us, it's outside of our control, but we realize that somebody else is in control, then we can live through the turbulence and through the times that's up and down. Shalom is that peace that passes all understanding despite all the circumstances that are around us. Matthew Henry writes, peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that he is there with you always. Many times we say that God won't save you from the trouble, but in the trouble. He'll be there with you, and he'll be walking with you. I want to close with sharing this story. How many of you love to fly? How many of you hate to fly? How many of you don't mind flying, but you hate crashing? Yeah. I want to tell the story about a young boy who was traveling all by himself. And there was a business traveler who was used to traveling, and so it was no big deal for him to get on another airplane. It's like getting on a car, getting on a bus. It was just another day of his job. And yet he caught a glimpse of this young boy who seemed to be traveling by himself, and there was no adult traveling with him. And I thought, wow, you know, that's a brave young man, because if I were that age, I'd probably be very nervous and afraid. And the plane took off, and the boy was oblivious. He just kept playing with his toys. And then how many of you have ever been on a plane that experienced turbulence? Yeah, it's very disconcerting, isn't it? I mean, one minute you're here, the next minute you're here. And that's the way it is with air currents. And so when the pilot says, if you're not traveling back and forth or going to the potty, keep your seatbelts on, because you never know what the air is going to do. The turbulence goes up and down, up and down. And this particular plane, it got into some turbulence, and it was very aggressive and very strong, and they were up and they were down, and the whole cabin became a bit frantic. And realizing that this boy was all alone, he looked over at the boy. The boy was oblivious to the turbulence. He's just playing with his toys over there. He thought, man, that kid's incredible. And then they went through a time of peace again, and then suddenly turbulence again. It must have been one of those days where the atmosphere was constantly in turmoil. And so times of peace and the times of turbulence. And every time he'd look over that little boy, he'd just be oblivious, just playing with his toys, like not a care in the world. And during one of the times of peace, the businessman got out of his seat and went over to the little boy, and he said, you know, son, I've been watching you, and I want you to know you are a very brave little boy. He said, if I were your age, I'd be scared. Aren't you scared when we go through these times of all this bumpiness that's going on? And without batting an eye, he looked at him and he says, no. He said, why aren't you afraid? He says, because my dad's the pilot. He'd been with him before. He'd ridden in a plane many times by himself, playing with his toys. He's been through times of peace. He's been through times of trouble, but he trusts in his father. And he says, my dad is in charge. My dad is in control, and my dad is going to see us through whatever is going on, the turbulence in our lives. And I want you to think about that as we come to this time, as we close this message about the peace that passes all understanding. Is to take on a bigger picture, to take on a bigger view, and realize that we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That peace is Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can have the abundant life. We can have even peace in our lives now. We can relax, because those of us who have been through turbulence before and we hung in there with God, then God saw us through. And we say, you know what? We're in turbulence again. But I always know my dad is in charge. My dad is in control. And so with that, my friends, I pray that every one of you this Christmas season would know the peace that passes all understanding, that you would give your lives to Jesus Christ, lean into him, and let him fill you with his peace. Amen.